with that music, you know what time it is. It's Frogcast time. Frogcast 188. That means we've been doing this for 43 consecutive years, guys. It's pretty cool.
Feels good.
It feels good. This is the Motorcycle and Jew, Ben, back from surgery. Happy to be here. We got the whole crew, and we got a Frogcast favorite coming on soon. Super blogger Vince is in the house.
That's me.
NFL Hall of Famer Brendan is in the house.
Heyo.
We got Brett live from the internet.
Am I the Frogcast favorite?
No, not even close.
Oh.
No way.
Didn't even hesitate on
no,
that.
No, come on. No and, Brett.
I think Brett gets the most hate mail.
I think Brett gets a lot of...
He gets the most love mail, too.
Yeah,
though.
I'd say a lot of love mail.
Well, it's the backlash of the backlash.
Right.
Because it's true. There started a meme where everyone, like, hated Brett. And I think I finally said somewhere, I was like, hey, suck my dick.
And or your jeans.
And then lots of people have, like, gone out of their way to be like, no, we love Brett.
I would say Brett gets the majority of, hey, I think Brett would like this.
He does,
sort
yeah.
of emails.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of links and
I get a lot of those too, but they're always poop related. whereas Brett's are usually interesting or profound.
Someone shit themselves on the bus. Yeah. Brendan would love this.
That's funny.
But then the bus crashed and I'm back on board.
Yeah, Brett gets a lot of sort of nihilistic, the world's coming to an end type things.
I do. It cheers me up in my afternoons.
Somebody sent us a very dire article on climate change and said, I think Brett would like this. And then I read it, and it was like the first thing I read in the morning. Like before, I was like still in bed, and I was reading it on my phone. And then I was just like, it ruined at least the first half of my day.
I'm not even getting out of bed, man.
Yeah. I was like, why am I even bother? I was like petting my dogs. I was just like, I don't even know if they'll live long enough to like see everything.
This is perfect because we were going to talk about True Detective and how, and part of the reason I like it is that Matthew McConaughey's character, pretty much exactly like Brett, like everything that comes out of his mouth, I can imagine Brett saying.
It does really remind me of a Brett character.
Yeah.
But real quick, we are going to have Joe Sinclitico, the artist formerly known as Joe King, on a little bit later. He's going to do some movie pitches for us, world famous movie pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Vince was down in LA staying with Joe,
yeah.
Yeah. That must be interesting.
It was, yeah.
That photo of the stripper on the pole with Joe in the background was like, I looked at that for at least.
She's not a stripper. That's just a girl's apartment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, you said something about a stripper in the caption.
Yeah. Well, she has a stripper pole.
Okay.
And she's teaching, because she does like stripper exercise sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So she's teaching me moves. And you guys know I'm pretty good on the pole. Like,
yeah.
I can already do the horizontal.
You smoke something.
You can do the guy in a hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she taught me a couple new moves.
Ooh, but Joe was kind of in the background. He's like sort of cocking his neck in just a way that is really...
He was actually eating a cronut in that picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of you two in his kitchen where he's just like eating a sausage straight out of the pan pretty much summarized exactly how you two interact.
Yeah. First of all, cronuts... They're good, but you know what? Like people tend to overstate things.
So it's a frosted croissant? Croissant?
It's a fried croissant.
With frosting?
It's a croissant donut.
With frosting on it?
Yeah, well, one I had, we had chocolate inside, but yeah, same thing. Here's the thing. It was good. You know what? You know what's also good? Donuts.
Donut. You know what's also good? Chocolate croissants?
Yeah, they're like... You're not going to mess that up. It's like
even in LA, you don't understand how stupid things have gotten with that garbage. Out here, you know, Shake Shack tends to have reasonable lines for tourists.
Yeah.
They did like a cronut milkshake.
Uh-huh. Oh god.
And they stretched like all the way around Madison Park twice.
What I don't get are the people like who is like, "You know what? I will wait 2 hours for a cronut shake."
It kind of reminds me of what Vince talked about last week, which is Australian people being like, "Why are Americans so excited about shit?"
Yeah, like, so true. Like,
man, I'm gonna get so I'm so excited. I'm gonna wait this line for 2 fucking hours. And I realized once you said that, I thought about a very integral part, like when I was playing football, of when black guys would imitate white people. A big part of it was like they were always really excited, which like makes a lot of sense, especially because it's like Southern California. So like you know that it always just be like. Yeah, dude! I just fucking shaved my pubes! My dick looks huge!
Yeah.
Dude, let's go get in line for fucking cronut shakes, dude!
Let's go wait in line for 2 hours!
Yeah, imagine if you could put the line in your milkshake. Like if you could condense standing in line into a milkshake and then make you stand in line for that, people would go ape shit.
If you could actually taste the anticipation for it,
yeah,
that's what the thing is. You think you can taste like the trend and all the people that like it in the Krona, but you can't. It just tastes like fried.
But you know, you get to tell people,
I had a Krona.
There you go, and that's really that's why you do it. It's not as much the eating of it. Uh-huh. It's the telling people and taking pictures
right.
of it.
Oh, yeah. You got to Instagram that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We had
the lady who cuts my hair had one, and she gave me a bite, and it was really good.
It didn't have hair. Okay, that's good. Those are not good cronuts.
No, but she trimmed my pubes, and my dick looks huge.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the hair-covered cronuts, really overrated.
It's a hairy cronut. It's a specialty.
That's the creator.
It's French.
That's the creator of the Krona.
You get those in
Harry
Krona. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Harry Krona created it.
So, yeah, we were at that party and...
Harold Krona.
The creator of the Krona. Sir Harold Krona. Sir Harold.
This is Harry style. This is a Harold style Krona.
It's on the secret menu.
It's off the menu. Yeah, you have to...
It's like animal style at the Krona place.
You get that Harry style.
The Harry Krona.
We were hanging at this person's house in L.A., and then they called a male stripper. And I'd never seen, like, the kind of male strippers that you call to your house before, and he did not look like Channing Tatum, let me tell you. It was like a...
Does he work as a lookalike or something?
No, he just was like a chubby Mexican dude with like really manicured eyebrows.
But wait, where did Channing Tatum come in?
Like dressed because Channing Tatum is in Magic Mike, you know? That's like, that's what formed my idea of what Meryl Streepers look like.
Oh, okay.
So it's basically
But he looks more like Kevin Nash?
No, he looked more like Michael Pena.
But
who's
that?
I think he was in there somewhere. He's in every movie. He's the guy from Observe and Report.
No. Kevin Hart is in every movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
Did you see that video of Kevin Hart where he's like, it's just a Vine video of him filming himself in the car where he's like, man, you got to go out and see Ride Along. Woo! And he doesn't address it, but it's like he's taking a video of himself just in the car. And you forget how short Kevin Hart is. Like everybody knows he's short, but when he films himself in a regular car, like his head stops before the headrest starts.
And he's also sitting in one of those booster seats from a fast food place. He fits into your pocket.
Yeah. He's got books tied to his shoes.
Yeah,
so he can step on the pedals.
So I was saying, it's like I know he's short, but it's sort of like the Andre the Giant thing where I know he's big, but when you put his hand like on a soda can, you're like, holy shit, that guy's big.
Or you see pictures of him next to normal humans.
Yeah.
And he looks like three people.
Kevin Hart looks like a normal person, but then you put like anything of scale in the picture and it looks like he's three apples tall.
What? Three crab apples.
Three apples to a June bug.
Yeah. Really, bitch, why are you not the Hobbit again?
Before we get to everything else, I did want to say for any Bay Area... California Bay Area residents, we are going to have a sneak preview of Whoop Dreams next week at the Roxy Theater. That's in the Mission. Mike Eisenberg, the director and editor, want to make sure it's a sneak preview, not 100% finished. For all you Kickstarter backers, the planned tentative release date will be March 3rd. I think that's right after the Oscars. There's some reason Mike won't do that. But anyway, it is coming out soon. May even have another trailer for it. But if you are in the Bay Area, Roxy Theater, Wednesday, February 5th, 7:15 p.m.
Also on Tuesday, I'm doing this improvised stand-up thing called It's Just 2 Minutes. It's at Milk Bar on Tuesday at 8. It's actually pretty fun. It's sort of like, it's not like, it's all comedians, but we're not doing regular stand-up sets. You go and they give you a topic and you have to just sort of riff on it off the top of your head. It's kind of fun, you know.
Sort of like improv.
Yeah, but it's improv, but you don't have to wear a hat or like play a character.
No swords?
No, like you're not interacting with each other. You still get to be yourself.
Okay.
You don't play freeze?
Yeah, like I'm not like a guy selling hats.
Could I be an astronaut walrus if I chose?
I think so. I think that's cool. It's up to you, really.
How's the comedy scene doing?
It's good. The show. Thanks to everybody who came out to the Hollywood Improv. It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought.
Can we maybe hear some stand up from the Hollywood Improv?
Oh no! I'll do that next week. I'll edit it together or something.
How are your jokes doing?
I thought they were good. I mean, everybody laughed at stuff that I said.
That's usually a good sign, right?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how this whole comedy thing works.
Like, you know, you're feeling good when you're like, you get so comfortable that you start saying stuff that you didn't even plan for, where you're just like, oh, all right, well, fuck it. I'm having fun now.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Vince, I thought that you were going to play some of your stand-up set.
No, well, I thought about it, but...
Well, because I was laying you up there, segueing.
I know, and it was a good job. I appreciate it.
I just don't always feel appreciated.
You really appreciate it. Okay. It's just we don't have that much time before Joe's here. I don't want to spend 10 minutes on my stand-up set.
Was it a 10-minute set?
It's 12, yeah.
It's a pretty good amount of time. And then do you get a candle? Do they hold up the candle at the end? That's one of my favorites.
It's not Paul Revere. They use that.
No, I've been to shows specifically where they held up a candle, and that meant Vince's time
Yeah,
was
Vince
up.
Gets a candle, but he's VIP.
Actually, they
hold up their phones.
They redesigned the Hollywood Improv, and no one knew where the light was. You know, they give you the light when you got like a minute or two to go. No, I had no idea where it was, so I just
went on for an extra.
I had it
minutes?
In my head, and I was like, "This feels like it." They told me 10 minutes. I was like, "This feels like I've gone over," but I'm just gonna. I'm just gonna
keep going.
I'm gonna finish where I finish, and it's gonna be good. What are you guys gonna do for the next 2 weeks? I'm gonna be gone. I'm gonna be going to Berlin like the early morning right after the Boop Dreams.
You know,
why are you going to Berlin?
We're gonna.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna go eat horse meat pizza. That's what someone has promised me in Berlin.
There's a film. There's a film festival. Yeah, he gets to go see movies.
There's a film festival. Wanted to take a vacation. I had an excuse.
What's different about Berlin versus other ones?
It's in Germany.
Okay. That is different.
Yeah.
Except it's not, like, compared to the Munich Film Festival, different.
It's a little different scene there.
Okay.
It's a little more cerebral.
And are you going to this one because they didn't block you like Sundance?
No, I haven't. You know, it'd be interesting to see if I applied to Sundance
just
again.
Just don't do it.
It's been 2 years since I applied to Sundance.
He's like the people who stop looking for jobs so they don't even count the unemployment rate anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But they claim that they pretend that they look.
I mean, I'm using it as an excuse to go to Europe, basically.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about Berlin. People speak in reverential terms about Berlin.
They also say do not go in February because it's fucking gray and freezing.
Oh, yeah, that seems
freezing.
Like a dumb thing to do.
But, I don't care. Whatever. It's going to be fun.
Are there any movies premiering that you're excited about?
There's the new Wes Anderson is going to be there.
Oh, you love Wes Anderson.
The new one? I don't know, man. I'm definitely not sold on the new one.
The Return of Plaid?
I know Brett likes to give him the benefit of the doubt, but
I do.
Swear
but
he's
not,
gone
I
so far
disagree.
Up his
I
own
think he's,
ass.
I think he's pushing his luck.
Uh-oh. Yeah. He's
I would not be surprised if Moonrise Kingdom was like, that was just as far as he could take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was like, he pushed me right to the limit where I'm like, because he keeps doing the thing with the little kids is what gets me. Like, I can handle everything, all of his shtick, pretty much. It's just the faux, naive little kids doing things. And like little kids falling in love and dressing like adults. I fucking hate it so bad.
I would
much.
Say, in general, little kids are... ruin movies more than aid them.
Yeah.
In general.
Also,
it's just hard to find kids that can act.
Yeah. I was watching clips from Rushmore the other day, and like you forget like that Wes Anderson's old movies, they all had like sort of an edge to them. They had that one character who was like sort of a dick and an agent of chaos a little bit, and like that's been missing from like the last two where there's like it's really mannered and
there's no guy who's
like kind of a fuckhead, you know?
Well, that was Fox was the other was the
Yeah, the Fox.
Fox
I like the Fox a lot.
Fox
but then before that was Life Aquatic, wasn't it?
No, the train one.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't good.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't bad. It just was very mediocre.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Brett is the president of the Wes Anderson fan club, though.
But before we get Joe on, I did want to talk about True Detective a little bit, just in terms of Brett character. Brett being
Brett's
like McConaughey.
It is Brett's character.
So
I'm a little creeped out by
Brett Hugh McConaughey.
I've definitely said some of the things he says.
If Brett had gone undercover for 4 years and had weird flashbacks and became a cop.
I loved his flashback. That's my favorite
that
scene.
That was so rad.
So far, where he's panicking because the sky is fucking burning. Oh, I love that scene.
So this is the text that Brett sent me today. We should, like, in the future, I should just compile some texts from Brett and see if you can tell them from
lines.
I have
one, too.
This is the text Brett sent me.
I have one, too.
Here's Brett's text. Sagan was convinced we haven't heard from our alien friends because intelligence buttfucks itself to death in a cosmic eye blink. I'm inclined to agree. But there's still a few billion years left. Something somewhere might get it right.
It's true.
Yeah.
He said to me, I wrote to him, so Brett last week reply-alled on an email with just a link that was conferencecall.biz. And I recommend everyone go check it out. It's actually a beautiful piece of work. And it's people reading lines from the shit you hear in conference calls, like, so who called this meeting? And then someone else is like, the client needs the deliverables signed off on before this week, oh so God. Let's make sure this gets punched up to EOW, and just stuff like that. And
it's on random repeat, so it's always different. And there's like a low drone underneath that adds this disturbing, ominous quality to it.
Yeah, it really has this ominous quality to it. That's a great way to describe it. So I texted him. Conferencecall.biz is the most accurate manifestation of deep, profound despair that I've ever seen. It's like the cold embrace of death, sad and final, yet somehow reassuring. And he wrote back at 5 a.m. this morning, I was also disturbed by his profundity. It's like a little melody that gets stuck in your head and forces you to drive your car into a tree.
So I hadn't come around on that show until this week. And I'll give you so two reasons.
Why you came around?
No, why I hadn't come around.
Okay.
Like, I was getting annoyed with everyone telling me it's the greatest show that's ever existed.
That's not the greatest show that's ever existed. It's fun, though.
Because here's the thing. It's very writerly. Like, at the moment, I was almost ready to check out at the moment in this week's episode when Woody Harrelson goes, let me tell you the difference between you and me, which is, like, the worst...
Right.
Yeah, it's like, let me explain my rationale. It's like some screenwriter being like, let me explain my rationale behind these two characters without actually writing anything for these two characters.
Right.
And then they have McConaughey do the thing where he sort of... I think there's a thing in bad writing where instead of using your characters to illustrate the concept that you want to illustrate, you just have one character say it. So it's like, instead of your story summing up the futility of existence, it's sort of like you just have one character, like, you know... expound on the futility of existence like McConaughey kept doing.
Yeah, but then, he does it so awesomely.
Well, yeah, but then that scene where he comes over to mow the lawn and he's like walking away in his weird wife beater, that was right when I turned the corner. Okay. I was like, all right,
yeah.
All right, you made what's the difference between you and me worth it.
So yeah, he does this weird, like he's holding his body strangely, like he's uncomfortable yeah. playing the character and it fits in really well with the character.
Yeah.
I thought the best scene in this week's episode was at the beginning where they're at the church, and like they've kind of played him up, like to be a little bit of like a non-human badass, you know,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really like. But then when they're sitting there and he's complaining again, and Woody just goes, you know, for someone who doesn't give a shit about existence, you sure do fret about it a lot.
Yeah,
I thought that was good. Where they're kind of leveling him back out, where you know maybe he's not. Some extra narrative hero.
I don't think Woody's acting is keeping up with McConaughey's.
I think he's doing okay. I thought he did a good job with like the self-doubt parts where he's conflicted with his manhood.
He just has that mouth tick where I'm like, all right, could you stop mouth acting?
You've mentioned this before. Clearly,
I'm Woody Harrelson, and I make a butthole in the front of my face with my mouth, and then I talk around it, and I sort of squint a little bit, and that's my only move.
It's sort of.
But McConaughey is out of control. Like he's doing a really good job.
Yeah, well, I'm the king of the McConaughey fan club.
I mean, the last 30 seconds of that episode, like. Got my
they
pussy.
They froze
wet.
It. They froze. They did a freeze frame on it.
Yeah.
Oh God.
The soundtrack. The soundtrack adds so much. It's T-Bone again. Like T-Bone is the king of long form television soundtracks.
Did he do the Llewyn Davis?
I think he was involved. I don't know if it was his.
I think he produced the songs. I want to say.
That intro alone, like I could just watch the freeway skull superimposed over Woody Harrelson at the break of the song, just nonstop on repeat for the rest of my life.
We had a reader from the area where True Detective is filmed who had some input. I've been watching True Detective just like you guys. Wow, imagine that. I believe I have a unique insight into the show. I'm actually from Abbeville, which is the area where most of the series takes place. It's bizarre that a brilliant HBO show starring Woody and the McConaughey is set where I've lived my whole life. But it makes so much context within the frame of the show. Woody's character is the perfect storm of insecurity, southern charm, and faux uber masculinity. Welcome to Southern Louisiana. His hypocritical religious views and absolute shock and awe at Rust Cole's worldview ring true to this region. It's a dying place filled with terrified people, hoping that their values and traditions will save them. The oil field's iron grip on this region creates a culture I cannot even begin to describe. Coastal erosion is very real, and unless things change, my house will be beachfront property in 20 years. I live about 15 miles north of the coast. People out here, it's like they don't even know the outside world exists. Might as well be living on the fucking moon. I could go on about the great little things and connections to be made, but I'll leave it at that for now.
I'm glad he wrote in because I didn't really get what they were talking about with the pipeline cutting it up and everything's going to be underwater.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, like, it's actually just sort of all eroding away.
Yeah. And I would also like to point out the difference between this and Beasts of the Southern Wild, where people gave me shit for thinking that I hated that movie because, like, I didn't understand, like, the region that it was set in. And I was like, well, yeah, because that's like some white dude from New York who's like, I want to make a movie about Louisiana. And then he just sort of films all of the ideas that he already had about Louisiana before he got there. Whereas, like, True Detective, there's shit where I'm like, huh, what? Because it's actually about...
So, like, insular to
it's
that
It's actually
area.
About the place and not, like, someone... It's not cultural tourism, basically.
Yeah, they're not really holding hands on any of the cop talk either. Like, the DBs for dead bodies, I think.
Like, they've definitely done stuff where I had to go back 5 seconds just to know what they said.
Yeah.
But yeah, McConaughey, I like also the McConaughey present or whenever he's being talked to in the meeting room and McConaughey past is super different. It's definitely going to be interesting because I was reading that there's only 8 episodes and that's it. It'll no more seasons, no more anything. It's just 8 episodes.
McConaughey is too busy.
So over under, which one of them do you think is the new serial killer? Is it McConaughey or is it Harrelson?
I think it's that chick with the huge tits.
You would.
Oh, the emailer also said that there's no one who looks even remotely like that in that area.
Well, that's why they have to hire actresses.
Yeah.
Ah!
Beep.
Sorry.
Who did you call on the phone?
Well, I'm going to call Joe, but I didn't realize it was going to make a big beep sound when I put his number in preparation to call him.
All right, well, let's get Joseph.
Might as well get him on now. Yeah, okay. Sorry about
you're
that.
Got your one number in. You might as well come in.
Let's beep him in.
Why is that so funny?
People are like, the detectives out there are going to figure out his phone number.
Yeah, that's right.
From the tones.
You can totally tell
he
from
would love
the
it.
Sound.
Can you imagine demented broadcast people calling him and just saying strange things? And then he would just say weird things back to him.
He's got like 400 numbers in his
No, I screwed up the first time. I had to redial.
Is it Meat Wolf?
Meat Wolf? Is this Meat Wolf?
It's a Meat Wolf.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Meat Wolf? Meat Wolf,
thanks for having me back on the broadcast.
Welcome back, Meat Wolf.
Yeah, dude, it's been fucking a great run for me being the number one broadcast guest as voted by all the broadcast people, listeners, all the Film Drunk fans for voting me the fucking best. And just how basically they're saying that most of the other guests that you have on the broadcast are fucking retarded, and that I was the best, and it just feels good. So thanks for having me back, guys.
You're welcome.
Sounds really good now. That Manuel
sounds really good.
Manuel Quinones.
Is that your Skype name?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Manuel Quinones.
Does sound significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
It does say that, but it's got a 4 after it, so there's 3 before.
Manuel Quinones 4.
Cuatro.
Well, we got Joe Sinclitico, the artist formerly known as Joe King.
Hey, guys.
Formerly known as Manuel Quinones Cuatro.
Cuatro.
Do you perform at all anymore under the name Joe King?
I don't.
So it's retired.
It's completely done, dude. I'm trying to get the Sinclitico name up and running.
All right. So how was the comedy event with Vince over the weekend?
I mean, it was pretty good. Vince did it all right, you know, for a little fucking baby fucking idiot comic. that's just learning how to do jokes. They're just learning how to structure a joke. You did pretty good. I killed, and the rest of the comics were pretty shit. Were pretty terrible, but.
So Vince was second to you, but the gap was pretty large.
Yeah, dude, it's like the difference between the, you know, the fucking the U.S. military and, you know, fucking the military in Mongolia, the Mongolian military base.
Well, at one point it was formidable. What are you panning for gold?
I'm making a coffee. I'm making a cafe. Por Manuel, Quinones.
Vince, so for an idiot joke maker, you did pretty good.
I mean, I thought so, yeah. Look, I can only...
Yeah. Like, I thought he did pretty good. Most of the audience, I think, was sleeping during his set, but...
Do you think that any of them potentially laughed even in their sleep from the jokes?
I think if they had been awake, they would have been laughing, for sure.
I mean, yeah, one would hope.
They would have fucking laughed pretty hard.
How's your coffee?
It's fucking good, dude. You know the thing about Vince that a lot of people don't know about him is that he's got a problem with people that chew their gum really loud. And it's like, he got really mad at me for chewing my gum a lot.
Joe chews his gum like really, really loud. Like I can hear each saliva bubble in the tooth indentation that he makes in the gum. Like that's how.
You do have a very serious problem with any sort of mouth-related sounds.
I chew really loud, and you know I have anxiety that I grind my teeth. So if I'm not chewing gum, I grind my teeth. I get TMJ, I mean that's bad, dude. But I chew my gum really loud too. Sometimes, like when I'll get in an elevator or something, I can tell I'm annoying other people. But it's like, whatever, dude, I got a condition.
Yeah, you should have a cape on your gum like a service dog somehow.
Yeah, like a little service dog harness around my gum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that way you let people know I'm a loud gum chewer. And then people like Vince, who are insensitive to your issue, will at least understand what you're going through.
I think if you guys heard it, you would probably throw up.
I don't have as much a big of an issue with mouth-related sounds as you do.
Yeah.
I don't know that many people do.
No, it's a thing. It's a common thing.
So you haven't... Maybe you should wear a cape.
Right. He has TMJ. I have whatever... I forget what it's called, but it's like an auditory sensitivity to mouth sounds.
Okay.
Autism.
Mm-hmm.
It's with a D, though. It's autism.
Autism. Yeah, but Vince, it was fun. It was a fun time. Vince came down. My girlfriend lives with me now. Vince was hanging. She's cool. She's pretty judgy about me and Vince's relationship. She seemed a little bit weird about it.
The bromance was too strong for her.
Yeah, like she came in from work one time, and I was helicoptering my dick and hitting it with a towel, and Vince was on the couch laughing. And she got. She thought that was weird.
Yeah, this actually happened. He was sort of hitting the head with a hand towel, like he was doing. He was helicoptering his dick, sort of clockwise, and then helicoptering.
Like he's pushing it forward with the towel, like the towel is propelling it.
No. He was slowing it down, like he was going opposite ways. So he would sort of swing the towel underhand and like whack the top of his dick.
They'd meet in the middle.
It was sort of like gears.
It would meet spin in the middle.
Yeah.
And I heard her complaining to her friend on a. I heard her complaining to a friend on a phone call the other day. I was like, "Yeah, sorry, I'm a fucking artist and I'm creative, and I express myself differently than others."
With loud gum chewing and helicoptering of the wiener.
Yeah. And then there was one time, too, she always brings this up, too. There was one time where me and Vince were walking out of a bar, and we were trying to fart on each other. And right as we both turned to fart in each other, we just farted into each other's buttholes. And she was really upset. That's like bothering her to this day. She it was like a year and a half ago, and she brings it up constantly.
So it's the butthole to butthole fart that really gets
it's
her.
Sort of like a phantom space docking.
Pretty much any time I like say somebody's immature or I suggest that she's immature in any way, she just immediately whips that out.
So did it make like a hermetic seal on your buttholes?
Yeah, it's like it would just. It would have been cool if it like when the Matrix, when Keanu and the agent like punched each other, and it like floated into a bubble and then outploded.
Like we just both turned into binary code.
Outsploded.
And it outsploded.
I can 100% picture both of you trying to really desperately fart on each other.
I remember vividly that we would. Like when we would go to the Tower Records in La Jolla, like there'd be people just sort of perusing magazines, and I can still picture like Joe walking up to some woman that's sort of looking at a magazine and pretending to read over her shoulder for about 3 seconds, and then just cutting a really loud fart and then just walking away.
Dude, before I started eating fiber, I used to be able to fart whenever I wanted, and it was the most powerful tool in my comedy repertoire. And I could literally just fart at the best time. Like in a serious moment in a movie, I could just fucking fart so hard.
What? So the
like a comedy X-Man.
So the
where like everybody would hear me in the theater.
What is
like my buddy Justin always he would never laugh at it. My buddy Justin Decker's a comic. He would never laugh at it, but I could tell he was kind of jealous, and he would kind of marvel at it. He'd be like, "You could just do it on cue." Like every time I would fart, he just, "You could do it on cue."
What has the fiber done to be the kryptonite to this power?
I think I was just really, really backed up, dude. I think a lot of the dicks were pushing it inside me, pushing it back up inside me, and creating like a cap.
Like a colon cap.
Yeah.
Like a oil, like the oil pan. Like when you put the cap on the oil pan.
It was a junk shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember they tried to do that to the BP oil spill?
Oh, right.
Junk shot.
Yeah. Where you they put the junk in there and it caps the oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the psyllium husk, man, that's... If I could get one thing to the people at Film Drunk, it'd be like... The Reed Film Drunk, it'd be like, hey, go get some psyllium. And take psyllium, you'll have like no wipers.
It's changed my life.
It is a life changing thing.
Like you'll have poops that could go in a catalog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like and then museum quality archival.
Since you only
poops.
Wipe once, you're able to admire
right.
a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no toilet paper to sort of you
obscure.
Know, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have a friend that I told about it, and he's like, he's so impressed. Like, he gets so excited about the shits he takes now that he sends me pictures of them. And the first couple, I was like proud too. I was like, yeah, man, I'm glad you helped. You know what I mean? Like, but now it's like gone on way too long.
Yeah, you got like a 1 month hard cap on psyllium husk poops.
But it really does make you realize how huge of a difference it can make in your day. To
yeah.
like take a huge
yeah.
dump. It
to
like
just
makes your whole
feel
day.
Light in the bowel.
Mm-hmm. And to get the full evac too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The psyllium gives you the full evac.
And immediate, you know that within 2 minutes of feeling it, you can get a full poop out and be done with it for the next 6 hours.
Conversely, if you're taking the psyllium husks and you're somewhere and you need to poop,
yeah,
there's no,
that is the issue.
Yeah.
There's no, I'm going to hold this
you
until
got
the next meeting.
2 minutes before you know about it and then 5 minutes before you poop your pants.
Right. If you're in a 45-minute meeting and you feel it 15 minutes in, like you're going to have to leave.
Yeah. That's a definite.
Right.
Those 45-minute meetings, man.
But it's gonna be worth it because you're gonna miss the last half hour of that meeting because you're pooping and it's awesome.
Yeah, without the psyllium husks, you can have to go and then you can hold it and then you'll like miss your window and then you gotta wait like another half a day before it comes out.
The psyllium, no one's waiting for that.
No one's waiting. The psyllium waits for no one.
Psyllium waits for no man.
So Joe, you saw her.
I did. I saw it.
I thought we were going to have a discussion about it because I thought Brendan and Brett had seen it, but they haven't. But
what the fuck, dude?
I know.
Sorry.
Come on, dude. You guys have fucking eyes. Take your fucking eyes, put them in the fucking movie and watch it, dude.
Sorry.
I know. So if you could give like a non-spoilery like opinion on it, what did you think about it? What did it inspire in you?
Why can't I spoilery?
Because Brett cries.
Brett would cry.
I don't give a shit if you spoil it, but
oh, you haven't seen it.
But Brett's
sensitive. Here's the thing. Here's the major part I had like issue with was this is supposed to be in the future, but you can have a relationship with your fucking OS, but they don't have anything to fuck. You know what I mean? And yeah. I've said it before. I've said it 1,000 times, dude. In the future, there will be probes. There will be attachments that stimulate your prostate, that simulate your penis, that simulate your vagina. There will be virtual reality goggles to combine that and fucking create really good ejects.
The thing is, Joe, is like you clearly have barely thought about this.
Well, you guys laugh at it, but they did. Like, I was at the AVNs, and they already have a device that involves connecting your phone with some sort of sexual device.
The Uber
where jack. you can like remotely vibrate someone else.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
No, Joe, I actually hadn't even thought about that, but you do make a good point that you should have some sort of fleshlight at a minimum type device to go with the OS.
I want nanobots. Yeah. I want nanobots on my junk, just gray oozing that shit until everything dissolves and it's all just like a flan down there.
Dude, it's like they already have Redbox. Why can't I go and put my credit card in the fucking thing, pull the probe out of the box, mm-hmm. you fucking attach it, you clamp it, clear, you have your cum, and then you fucking move on.
So just sort of like, it sort of clamps on to your...
Do you have to yell clear?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You don't
want
to get anyone...
You don't want everybody in the fucking... Everybody touching water in the fucking grocery store to come simultaneously. The fucking retarded baggy boy fucking comes all over somebody's grape.
Why is there water all over the grocery store?
There's definitely a retarded bag boy.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, anyone who's touching water can come from the electrical current.
Yeah.
Okay. And for some reason, there's water all over the floor of the grocery store.
In the future, Vince.
Like, okay. Someone spilled some iced tea.
In the fence, it's the future.
It's
there's
a
water.
Fucking swim-up grocery store, bro.
They're all like that in the future.
It's we live in the ocean.
Well, yeah, because global warming, it's probably hot. We want to have it like sort of like tropical sort of bar.
Sea lions are our taxis.
Yeah.
the fucking retarded bag boy. Like, look, we all want him to come, just not on the grapes.
On your fucking some old woman's grapes.
She's not gonna like that.
And then
she
and
might.
Then, and then it's like, how many times does that have to happen before they pull the box?
Yeah.
They pull the ejack box out the fucking Albertsons.
You're not allowed to wear your ejack box in Albertsons no more.
And then you know, bummed out you'd be, Joe, if you show up the next week.
Yeah.
And
no ejack box.
I mean, that ruins the entire grocery shopping trip.
Dude, that's fucking... You know what, though? I'm probably wrong just in that in the future, there probably won't be retarded people.
So you're picturing there's going to be some sort of eugenics? Or do you think we'll just
I
be
just
able
think
to...
We'll all probably be like see-through fucking amoeba-like beings.
Okay.
So how far is this? Maybe 10 or 20 years?
Yeah.
Seven.
You guys fucking think it's so funny, but you obviously haven't been fucking watching TED Talks. Or fucking listening to Ray Kurzweil movies.
Yeah.
Podcast.
The singularity is clear.
Yeah.
Singularity involves swim up grocery
the
stores.
Singularity is clear and amoeba-like.
So that was your main pet peeve, Joe, was that there weren't ejack boxes attached with OS.
Yeah, to the exactly. That he had to fucking. It was. I mean, it's kind of like cutesy like that, but whatever. But also, like, I don't know what it is about. You know what I do like about this movie was there was no like finger wagging about people and their technology and the future of technology. It wasn't like a cautionary tale about. And I like that because I always think like whenever people talk about the future, they go, "In the future, you're just gonna take a pill and be fucking happy." It's like, oh, fucking great.
Yeah, they have that. There's like the Aaron Sorkin thing where he'll be like, you guys now with your texting and your cell phones, you're like never in the moment, blah, blah, blah. And it's like there's all, and him and like Mitch Albom, there's this idea that, and people were doing that when.
It's ruining culture.
People were doing that when the telephone came out. They were doing that when the VCR came out. They were doing that
you
like.
Kids in your railroad like, getting wherever you want.
We'll never have the social experience of going to a movie and sitting quietly all in a room together anymore with this VCR.
And it's like, well, okay. So, yes, you can complain about. It's just like yelling about the telephone. At a certain point, there's really no sense in complaining about the things that we've lost. It's like, well, all right, how can we use this to make things better?
I don't know if you noticed. A lot of people don't like change, and so when things change, they get upset. Just like when, you know, someone takes the eject box out of the grocery store, people get upset.
Joe King gets upset.
Riots. Yeah. Riots.
When you take the eject box.
It's in your eject boxes. You don't even know how to get RoboFuck.
But it's like they think that like because they wrote a really scathing editorial about how we've become attached to our phones that suddenly everybody's going to be like, you know what? You're right, Aaron Sorkin. I'm going to throw this in the garbage now, and I don't even care if I have about getting directions to places.
It's the same urge that compels the social justice Tumblr person where it's like, I'm going to be hailed as a hero. It's like, no one cares, man.
Yeah, people are like, oh, in the future, you're just going to put on a goggles. It'll be and you'll be experiencing things you know. You could just put on a pair of virtual reality goggles and jack into some computer. And next thing you know, you're having sex with Scarlett Johansson. And it seems 100% real. And you'll never, once that happens, no one's ever going to be sad anymore. And you're like, oh, okay, perfect. Sounds fucking great. What is the downside? You're not going to feel sadness. Sadness is going to go away, guys. Okay. And what else part? I don't have to feel sadness? Great. Let's just fuck whatever.
I did like the whole... We can get into it more if Brett ever sees it, but I did like Spike Jonze just made a really cool world. I get your pet peeve with no fleshlights, but I like the world he made with the video game and the all the video games and the just the technology... Sort of like
Ben demands a very visually stimulating future, as we learned with his Looper review.
No, but
did this meet your standards?
It was, well, it wasn't a lot.
Okay, but Ben, didn't you think it was weird that they didn't have fucking probes that you put on your ass? Didn't that bother you at all?
Honestly, I really didn't think about it.
Vince, you seriously just fucking okay.
No, I did wonder because like I loved that it was futuristic in a subtle way, which like for me that's like my boner where I don't want like flying. I mean, flying cars are all right and everything, but I don't love the flying cars and laser beams so much. Like the shit I really get off on is like if you look back at a picture from the 70s. You know, the fashions are just completely different, and there's no way that someone from the 70s could predict, like, the different ways that people would comb their hair. Like, there's a certain linear side to, you know, like, computer chips, and there's things that you can predict where, like, oh, someday you'll be able to listen to all your music in a little piece of thing. Like you could have predicted that, but you would never have been able to predict, like, the way people would wear their hair and the way they would do their clothes. Like, that shit is just so bizarre. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And so I really love when a movie that's set in the future has, like, different words. There's, like, weird catchphrases that they throw in there. Because there's certain things that we say nowadays that would be completely baffling to someone, like, even 10 years ago.
Their outfits were amazing. I liked it. It was sort of like a retro future almost where there was new technology, but it wasn't over the top with laser beams and flying cars, but
and they threw
also
a little,
no probes.
Yeah, and they threw little weird things in there where the guy's like, you know what they say, you got to eat your fruit, you got to eat your vegetables and drink your fruit. And you're like, all right, well, I could see that being like a weird like health craze in the future, like some weird
probably is right now.
Yeah.
Brett
does because
that.
People, whenever you see visions of the future, they never take into account, like, people's sentimentality about, like, the past and shit. So the future is always going to look a little, you know, it's always going to look like the past and then, but have parts of it that are different and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, and it's hard to predict that. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it's different. Like, that was a cool part about it where it was like, it was just different enough. It was different enough that it looked like the future, but then also there were elements from the past. And so you could see how that would, you know, rather than just have everybody wearing like clear electronic suits with like space hats and fucking
with hair that looks like, because usually it's like clear electronic suits with hair that looks like whatever the hair was in the day that it was made. And it's like, you know, in the 80s there was this weird nostalgia for the 50s, and in the 90s there was a weird nostalgia for the 70s, you know, like there's this weird, there's like,
you know,
weird,
I never
retro
even thought about why Amy Adams had that fucking retarded hair until you just said it.
Really?
You were too bothered by no probes.
You didn't notice like the puffy sleeves on the girls
I just kept holding my breath waiting for the probes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
But he did make a super awesome, cool, different world where you definitely felt like it was somewhat in the future. The probes fortunately didn't bother me as much, but I didn't feel there weren't a lot of moments where I was like, oh, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It just sort of kept going along with, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense that someone would do that 20 years from now.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Brett, you should see it.
So basically, those were Brett's children in that movie.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, what?
Super pumped up for that. Super Plague's going to get everyone.
When was it supposed to be set? Was there even a year-ish that it's...
I don't think they ever said, did they?
They never said in the movie. I just wasn't sure if somewhere in the making of there were things that sort of said when it was supposed to be.
I like it when they set future movies in 1987 or 1994.
Yeah.
You know? Like reverse year, Terminator, that shit.
What year was Demolition Man?
I think it was 1998, but before he went under the...
Under the ice?
Yeah, I think so.
And then
I think it came out in like 2020 something. And then...
when all restaurants are Taco Bell.
Terminator 2 was like August 9th, 1997 or something like that.
Well, that's when...
Judgment Day. But on the Brett subject thing, speaking of Brett's children, his response to one of our listeners was, I spend at least 10% of my day trying to figure out how I will possibly prepare my spawn for the nightmare world they will inherit. Should I teach them how to throw a baseball or how to properly cook human meat while wearing a gas mask? Haha, just kidding. I don't know how to throw a baseball.
Sad but true.
All right, well, Joe, we understand you didn't like the lack of sex probes, but do you have any sort of movie pitches that maybe... You know, would be similar to her, but a lot better.
I did come up with a few. They were pretty rough just because I was kind of coming up with them, you know, today. There was one about this guy named Professor Meat Pussy, and he's obsessed with Brian Austin. And Green, and he stalks Brian Austin Green.
Okay.
And then fucking basically just spends like an hour and a half of the movie is spent torturing Brian Austin Green.
So he stalks him and finds him.
Professor Meat Pussy, he does this, right.
And he just, for an hour and a half, it's just him really graphically torturing Brian Austin Green, and it's a metaphor. It's like the guy is a metaphor for society, and he's battling the wrongs, and then Brian Austin Green is a metaphor for Brian Austin Green.
It's very pretty on the nose.
It's a more of a literal metaphor.
What's it called?
It's called
a literal metaphor.
Yeah, does this one have a title, Joe?
It's called Natural and Floppy.
Okay.
I think there might actually be a work already called that.
Do you envision a certain actor playing Professor Meat Pussy?
I actually had imagined my gecko playing the part, or like a large lizard.
Okay. All right, interesting choice.
Who would play the part of Brian Austin Green?
That's a tough one, dude.
I feel like
know.
Mark Wahlberg would be a great fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that would be good. Maybe
starring
maybe
Mark Wahlberg as Brian Austin
human.
Green.
He's good. He's good at getting tortured too.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Did you guys see? You guys all saw Lone Survivor, right?
I did not.
I did.
How was
just me?
How was Marky Mark in that?
He's good. Well, I was just me and Vince already had this conversation, but about how like the fucking. How they made that movie. And then afterwards, I was like, wow, this is what an incredible story. I can't believe all this happened. And then I went online and like researched it, and then just none of it happened.
Well, it was sort of like it was like the end of Argo. You know, the end of Argo where there's like a chase scene on the runway, and you're like, you're watching the movie, and you're like, there's no way this happened in real life.
Yeah.
And then you read the story, and you're like, no, okay, it didn't happen in real life. But the original story was actually good. Like, you didn't need all that crap. It was sort of the same with Lone Survivor. Like, you didn't need to try and... You didn't need to put the chase scene at the end.
Yeah, I read that book, and the book alone is amazing. Like, it's a crazy story.
And the
That's
book,
an insane story.
And the book, like, the whole point is, like, he makes it out alive, and he goes back for, like, two more tours or something, right?
Yeah. Well, not the whole point, but... Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that was, like, a big part of the redemption of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the movie, it's just like he's about to get his head chopped off by the Taliban, and then some Pashtun tribesman like shoots the Taliban like right as he's supposed to.
I don't think that happened.
No, of course it didn't happen.
I don't remember like, that. It was a couple years ago.
That only happens in movies. Like that, of course it didn't happen. So you're
well,
like,
they said he fought. He ended up. They said in the real incident that they were fighting against 10 or 20 Afghan soldiers. And in the fucking movie, these guys, it's like the end of like that, the most recent Rambo, where he just kills like 500. There's like 200 fucking Afghanis that they're killing. And they're literally just like cowboy fucking shooting like three of them like at once and shit. It's just retarded. And then you go find that out that was like completely full of shit. And you're like, it just takes away from, I think, if your idea was to honor these people with this fucking movie, then you kind of owe it to them to tell the truth, because then when people find out that it was full of shit, they kind of, like me, I just kind of dismiss the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't honor anyone to turn their life story into like a B movie plot. Like,
yeah,
I think it was 40. I think it was 4 against 40.
Okay, so yeah, there's a post, I forget who wrote it, that's like these military guys that were. Have basically gone through all, like, the original report that was from Marcus Luttrell. It was all firsthand. Like, his initial report was like 10 to 20, and then it went up to 20 to something. And then by the time he was on the Today Show, he was saying it was like over 100. So it was like every time he retold it, like, it got bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's like the fish that got away. You
and
know
it wasn't,
what I'm saying?
It wasn't like somebody else was saying, oh no, it was only, this was all like from Marcus Luttrell, but like his actual story kept changing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of Afghanistan, now, my other movie pitch was, did you guys see 12 Years a Slave?
I did.
This one was 12 Years a Chai Boy.
So
and
it's sort of
it's
like...
about...
So it's like, all right, so go ahead.
So it's about Private Manuel Quinones. He's like a very small Puerto Rican man.
Okay.
Very...
Brett,
what is
going on? Brett, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
What is that noise?
I'm not hearing any noise.
Okay.
Bro, are you vacuuming?
No.
Are you sure you're not vacuuming?
I'm 80% sure I'm not vacuuming.
All right, I don't know what that was, but it's gone now.
I didn't get it, so it's only on your guys' side.
That might have been the NSA.
Probably. They're listening in about Miguel Quinones.
What a massive waste of time.
12 years a Chai Boy. Private Manuel Quinones is a very fragile, delicate, thin, and very short Puerto Rican Marine. And he is captured and mistaken... for a 14-year-old boy, and is then spends the next 12 years in a Afghani police headquarters where they butt fuck him.
Okay.
And it's the same cast as 12 Years a Slave.
Okay. So who plays the starring role of Miguel Quinones?
It's F. Johnny from Jerry Forward. I can't say his name. Ichi Tittel Waddle.
Oh, Chewy Tell EGO4?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that's what you're going for.
Chewy Jettle Wajaf Abnor. And all the other roles are played by the same guy, so you get to literally see Benedict Cumberbatch just fucking hammer it. And Benedict Cumberbatch is kind of like he's kind of nice on his butt. He's not too hard on the guy's butt.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of takes it easy on his butt. And then at some point, he gets traded over to Fassbender.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Fassbender's not going to take it easy on his butt.
No.
Fassbender goes batshit fucking crazy on his butt.
Right.
Like a crazy person, frothing, mad, grunting, fuming, angry, attack dog on this guy's butt. And then finally he ends up with Brad Pitt, who's like, again, kind of like tries to, but this is the difference. It's like, eventually the Marines find him and he's with Brad Pitt and they try to free him. And he's like, fuck no, dude, I'm not going anywhere. I got fucking Brad Pitt butt fucking me. I'm staying right here, bro. Beautiful Afghanistan.
Okay.
And that's how it ends.
That's it.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's sort of about the horrors of war.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
I mean, it's mainly just about you get to see these really just great-looking actors butt fuck this dude. It's interracial. It's sexual. It's intense. There's passion. There's fucking, and there's going to be more, it's going to be like a membership where maybe you pay three bucks for like a 10-day pass, and then it's the installments. It literally takes place over 12 years.
Okay, all right.
And
so that it's going to be in real time. I mean, that's a
12-year subscription?
It's a big twist.
Yeah, it's monthly subscription. You get a few other sites too with it.
That's dedication to the real time of it. That's impressive.
We're trying to get all the Emmys, son.
Yeah. I mean, does that qualify for an Emmy, or is that going to we're going to have like a Streamy or something?
Maybe we would take an AVN. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
You want to fucking give us an award? A Webby?
Yeah.
You want to give us a Webby?
Teen Choice?
Teen Choice of Nickelodeon, fucking Fassbender gets slimed.
Yeah. He gets a surfboard and he gets slimed on. Yeah.
We joke about that. We're going to joke about that on set. The other one is there's this.
Okay, there's a new pitch.
Yeah, there's a new pitch. This one's called 12 Seconds a Slave.
Uh-huh.
And this dude, like back in the day, I don't know when that took place, like in the 1500s, the movie took place. It's like he's walking through. And they're doing like a slave auction, and they grab him. They're like, "Hey, bro, get over here!" And they fucking put him up on the stage. And then he pulls his hoodie off. He's all, "No, dude, it's me, Tim." And they're all, "Oh, okay, cool, you're good." And they just let him go. It's 12 Seconds a Slave.
All right, I like that one. That's more of a sketch.
It's a short.
Yeah,
it's a short.
Short film.
I think you stretch it out, and then what happens to him after? Maybe you get the rest of the 90 minutes.
Yeah, like how his family can take him back again after he spent 12 seconds as a slave. Yeah.
So then what happens?
Dude, he fucking I have some pitches written down, and one of them just I don't know what it is. It just says homeless man.
It's descriptive, at least.
But I don't know what it is. I didn't get any.
Is it a superhero, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. What else do you got?
That's it, dude. That's all I came up with.
Those are some.
That was a good number.
We
I'm
can
not...
get those into production pretty soon,
right.
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about those.
Sergeant Manuel Quinones.
That one, getting everyone to commit for 12 years might be a little bit of an issue, but if we show
I mentioned that it's Kabuki. That's the other thing.
No,
it's a Kabuki production.
Hadn't mentioned that. Okay.
Yeah.
That does change things.
Just to kind of kick up the drama. Mm-hmm. Just tap it up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have to... Once we show them how much money we're going to be making from the monthly subscriptions, I think everyone will be on board.
Yeah, you show someone the numbers. They're not going to turn it down.
Yeah.
Just and ten. You figure $3, you get a 10-day pass. Kind of, you know, it'd be good.
I think I like that.
Guys, how do you think I can get my fucking girlfriend not to wear shoes on my carpet? Think there's any fucking way to do that?
You fart in them.
Maybe hit your dick with a towel.
Fucking bullshit. Vince is always wearing his fucking shoes on my carpet.
Joe has this weird thing. You wouldn't expect it, but he's also like incredibly OCD. He's very clean.
Yeah, he wipes off the couch cushions afterwards.
Right.
Hey, dude, that fucking... never mind.
Very curious where that was supposed to go.
Yeah. I want to know what thoughts Joe has that he doesn't say out loud.
So, Vince, did you sleep on his couch or does he have extra room?
He graciously puts an air mattress out for me.
Okay.
But I usually end up sleeping on his couch because he has this weird love seat that for some reason just like, I don't know, puts me out really fast.
What? Because you...
Something about the blood flow, I just immediately just fall right asleep. We tried to watch like two movies. We tried to watch The Lone Ranger. And Bobby Hacker swears up and down that
I watched it. I actually liked it.
It was really fun. I was really bored. They just kept doing that crane shot where it's like, here's a crane shot of the set, like over and over, where it's like, here's all the extras that look like cowboys. La di da, look at us. Look how much money
we
got.
So Bobby Hacker swears what?
That Lone Ranger is actually awesome. Hmm. I mean, I was tired when we saw it, to be fair, but yeah, I fell asleep pretty early on and didn't feel that bad.
Vince is always kind of tired. Like he falls, like he almost fell asleep at this Cuban restaurant we were eating lunch at. Yeah, he had a big lunch and he laid down to take a nap.
He gets tired.
Yeah, he's like an 80-year-old man. He's
a sleepy little guy.
It hits him really quick too, where you're just sort of cruising around and then all of a sudden it's like nap time for Vince.
Yeah.
Well, look, we ate a lot of Cuban chicken with garlic.
Yeah, it was good. Did you guys fall asleep? Do you fall asleep at bars?
Sometimes.
I do not, but some of my friends enjoy that. Well, I don't know how much.
I'm not a bar sleeper.
I don't know if they enjoy it as much as they can't stop it.
Yeah, I don't do it on purpose. Sometimes it happens to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll fall asleep. Not in the bar, but like on the bar.
Yeah.
In front of a bartender.
This happened multiple times.
Like pretty regularly.
More than
50. One out of four.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than 50, yeah. Definitely.
I feel like that I will never fall asleep at a bar now after watching 12 Years a Slave.
That's true. So what did you think of 12 Years a Slave?
It's obviously like a really well-made movie and there's an incredible fucking awful, horrible story. But like, and I think I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that it's like, you know, this fucking amazing movie for me. It's like, I was just like, yeah, I kind of knew that slavery was really awful, and this was just felt very, I guess if you're going to make a movie about slavery, people are getting whipped, you're not going to, like, I guess you kind of have to show how horrifying it is, but I don't know. It wasn't like a movie you go, hey, you know what, I'm going to buy that DVD. So I think I'm going to watch that a couple times more.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw it on while I cook.
There's some film critic that was like, I'm going to watch 12 Years a Slave for the third time. And I was like, all right, you clearly have like some serious, serious mental problems.
Right.
I did not see it, but that was the response that Vince and Laramie and now Joe and other people have said. Like, hey, you experience it once and you're good for your life.
Like, here, put your dick in the door. I'm just going to slam the door on it like 10 times. You see how bad slavery was?
I would prefer you hit my penis with a towel, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good story. It's not like, ooh, that was impressive storytelling. It's like a bad story. Like, all of a sudden, he's like, he meets this Canadian guy who's like, hey, I think you shouldn't be a slave anymore because I'm Canadian. And then that's the end. And you're like, what? Really? That's how it ended?
Yeah, but you know what? I like that better than fucking Lone Survivor where it's like full bullshit. At least it's like, I felt like that was probably authentic or whatever.
You think? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I had a hard time getting past Brad Pitt with this as a Southern accented Canadian. So that maybe that colored my view of whether it was actually plausible.
You know, I don't know if I'm just really insensitive to fucking to accents, but they never, like, when people have off accents or they fucking aren't doing an accent, everybody else is doing it, like, it never bothers me. I've never have any issue with it. As long as I'm a more, you know, just a better person than you. I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't find a better word than better.
You care more about making sure that the probes are accurate than the accents.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where are the probes? Do they go on his butt? Where do they go? Do they go on the balls, the prostate, the perineum?
Where's the eject machine?
Where's the fucking eject box at the fucking Ralph's?
I probably wouldn't have noticed that he had a weird accent, except he basically did Aldo Rain. Like, it was like Aldo Rain as a Canadian guy. So, like, otherwise I wouldn't have noticed, except he was just doing Aldo Rain again.
Like, yeah. Foghorn Langhorn, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing about me. I'm a Canadian, and we don't believe in the slavery.
It's like a Southern
thing. I felt like some of the characters just weren't very, like, the Fassbender character wasn't, you know, there was a lot of empathy there for that character. He wasn't likable.
The characters weren't very interesting.
Dude, Fassbender's awesome, though, to watch him act like a fucking psychopath. He's so creepy when he's like really good at just like, I don't know. Like, did you ever see that movie called? No, I can't remember it, so I'm just gonna
Fish Tank.
Fail out. But yes, where when he fucks the little girl and
yeah, and then he just turns off.
Yeah, he's like so fucking creepy. It's like
also
so
that was like made 5 years before he started showing up in American mainstream theaters, and he looks like he's 10 years younger than that.
Yeah,
he looks like a little baby child in that, and it's maybe 5 years, I think, before he hit the mainstream.
He's a shredder, though. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's good.
I like him as a robot. I like him when he pretends to be a robot on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm a robot, handsome robot. I like to watch that.
Or a slave guy. He's good as a slave guy.
Yeah. I didn't see him as the guy with the dong. But I hear that's good, too.
Yeah, that was beautiful, too.
He sort of just goes blank and goes into a fugue state while he's banging. So I think you would like that, Brett.
When he's playing guy with the dong?
Yeah, yeah. When he's in shame and he's addicted to sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you would like that. See, the thing about shame is, like, it's about sex addiction, but it doesn't really get as weird as you should for a sex addiction movie.
Yeah.
He's sort of just like, oh, he has sex with, like, weird prostitutes. And it's like, eh. I feel like his life would get a lot weirder than it got in Shame if he was actually a sex addict.
Sex addiction is so weird to me just because, like, I just feel like there's, like, a biological thing built in where it's like, all right, it came. So come back in a couple days. And, like, somehow these dudes override that, like they don't have it or something, or like they're just not paying attention. It's not like actual sex drive. Like it's never quite hit me, you know, because it's like I just feel like your sex drive goes away after you have an orgasm or three.
You would think,
right?
Were you ever in rehab with a sex addiction guy?
No, I was in there with some sluts though.
Were they, they would talk about being slutty?
Yeah, they would talk about being slutty, and you could tell, there was one chick in particular who was, like, a sex addict, and she was always, I mean, she would have fucked, you could just tell. And it's hard as when a chick's a sex addict, because you're like, okay, all right, I'm kind of into that. Like, she would just flirt, like, she couldn't not be flirting with people.
Yeah, but then do you not feel good about it afterwards? Because you're like, oh, well, now she just flirts with everyone, so I'm not even special anymore.
You know, I never, like, people get upset about that, like, with strippers and stuff. It never bothers me. I just play along. Yeah. Feels good. But yes, that movie, did you see Hunger?
I never did, no.
Hunger is pretty bad. Hunger is definitely worse than Shame. It's not, and it might even be worse than 12 Years a Slave in certain ways because they starve themselves to death.
Uh-huh. Continue.
So they starve themselves to death, and then they also protest by rubbing shit all over their cells.
Really?
Yeah, so they rub shit all over their cells, and they just live in this cell caked in shit and piss and puke. And they're covered in shit and piss, and it's just fucking disgusting. And
that kind of sounds like a movie that you pitched.
Yeah. Shitbox.
Yeah, it does.
It needs more cum, for sure.
That's true.
Yeah, there's no cum in that movie.
None at all?
It's a definite flaw.
I like that idea, though, of the producer watching, like, one of the producers at, like, Paramount, like, in the fucking boardroom, just, like scratching his chin after watching Hunger and being like, can we put more cum in this movie?
Well, Joe, as soon as you get to be an executive at a movie studio, that'll be your main critique of every screening.
We need more cum in this.
Did you say you have a stamp?
That would be great. I wonder if that type of like, how quickly you would get fired if just one day if you just went through one day of pitch meetings and you're the president of Paramount and you asked everybody to come back but put more cum in their pitch. If, like, you would even make it through the whole day without getting fired.
I don't think anyone would bat a single fucking eyelash. I think you would get through your day and you'd probably be promoted because someone would come back with a cum-stained script and it would be like the next fucking Avengers or some shit. Yeah,
what was that? Matt, or not Matt, the Harvey Weinstein interview you were talking about?
Oh, where... yeah. Harvey Weinstein was talking about, he was on Howard Stern, he was talking about how Good Will Hunting, I think it was at Paramount, actually. That Paramount had the option to make it or something if Harvey Weinstein couldn't find somebody else to finance it within a certain time period. You know, Paramount was going to make it with Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio. And so he took a meeting with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. He read the movie, the script, and he said, and he had the meeting, and I guess there was a scene where the two professors, you know, Robin Williams and then the fucking Swedish guy, they blow each other. And so he has this meeting with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. He goes, you know, I love the script, but what's up with the blowjob scene? Like, that just seems like it kind of comes out of nowhere. And Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were like, we just put that in there to see if anybody actually read the script, and you're the first person that's brought it up. So wow. Basically, like, no one had even, like, really read the script.
Well, yeah. That's the Hollywood cliche that nobody actually reads anything.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And I guess Harvey Weinstein was like, you know, saying that he reads everything. That's his MO.
Yeah. Wow.
God, don't you hate it when you're with the call girl and she has BO? Speaking of MO.
Mm-hmm. That really, it's a bummer. It puts a damper on the whole. The whole night. Encounter, yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I went to Vegas one time in college. I remember a stripper had just such awful BO. I mean, it was like pungent.
BO or VO?
The first tit I ever sucked was when I was 15 years old. I was a Mexican stripper in Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
That was the first tit I ever sucked. It was like...
That's a memorable first
tit. I was there with my friends. I was blackout drunk, and one of them's like... Da, da, da. Like, I just see him talking to this other chick, and the next thing, this Mexican stripper puts her tit in my mouth. I'm like, I was like upset about it. I remember like being bothered. I was like, I don't know. When I was 15, I wanted to be special, I guess. I didn't know.
Yeah, you wanted your first titty sucked to be very special.
Yeah. I remember one of my friends, he was like one of the first guys to suck titties in like junior high, and we're all so fucking stupid. But we go, hey man, what did the fucking titties taste like? Like, for some reason I thought they tasted like something.
Yeah.
Like they would taste like really delicious. And he was eating a French fry, and he saw, I remember he just like held it up, he goes, they tasted like French fries, and then took a bite of the fucking French fry.
Man.
We were like, what? Whoa, dude, they taste like French fry?
That would be weird if booze tasted like fries.
And it felt just like a bag of sand.
Dude, that's
it's good, man.
That's crazy.
A lot of the stuff I say on this broadcast, if I ever marry my girlfriend, I don't think her Christian mother will allow it.
Well, and we know that her mom is a big listener, big fan.
Yeah. She emails. Now we will have a reading from Fraudcast 188. Yeah.
Fraudcast transcripts.
12 years of Chai Boy.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up the Chai Boy is me and Vince watched a movie called This Is What Winning Looks Like. Did you guys talk about that?
No, we did not. I don't think they've seen it. It's a documentary.
I've seen it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those not that surprising, but interesting to watch. It's about Afghanistan and how it's an unwinnable type situation for the United States. And if I remember correctly, it's what it's like after we leave or towards the end of our...
It's filmed in 2012.
What's it called?
This is what winning looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like...
It's a vice...
To me, it was surprising just in that, like, I really had no concept how outside the modern world Afghanistan is, like, in any way. Like, there's literally, like, no hope. Like, we're out there, we're like, hey, here's some electrical generators and solar power, you know, panels and this and that and water purifying towers and shit like that. And it's literally, like, giving it to, like, people that are, like, living in Conan the Barbarian times.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like... They have no fucking clue what to do. And it's just like such a...
It's like if you give them a laptop and they're like, oh, cool, I'm going to sell this because it's made of metal. And
yeah,
I'm going to use it to chop some wood.
I didn't realize that. Like, I thought, like, Afghanistan had people somewhere that could, you know, operate shit like that or that. You know what I mean? But they're living, for the most part, they're in the fucking Middle Ages.
Yeah, they're living hundreds of years ago, basically. And then the problem that makes everything worse is you give them anything of any value, and they just see it not even necessarily as a tool to do something else with. They're like, oh, cool, I can sell this and get myself some money.
Yeah.
So,
because that's basically what you do when you've been living in a place with no functioning government for 20 years.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's the one where the police station doesn't have any working cars.
Right,
and they
right.
received money
yeah, yeah.
to
they,
fix
they
the
get
cars.
Money, they get money per car, so they just have like a bunch of junked cars out there. They have like 20 cars that they're getting paid for, and then there's like three that actually work.
Yeah, and there's just a bunch of junked cars, and so they get a little bit of cash for each one. Yeah.
And they're trying to tell them, like, hey, you have to actually give the prisoners water. Because, like, the Americans discover this guy who's just, like, literally in the crawl space of a wall behind some sandbags. And, like, the guy hears, like, somebody calling from him. And he takes a sandbag out. And he's like, hey, there's, like, three prisoners, like, embedded in this wall.
Yeah, we put them back
they're
there.
Like, yeah, we put them back there. We're waiting for so-and-so from the city. And they're like, did you give them water? And they're like, no, we're waiting
they're
for...
They're fucking prisoners, dude.
Yeah, they're prisoners. We're waiting for so-and-so to show up. He tells us whether we give them water or not.
Yeah, it's worth watching. I think it was a Vice documentary, actually.
Yeah, the guy... I don't know. The guy worked for a couple people. Vice was one of them. And I think...
I thought it was... Anyway, I thought it was on Vice.com.
It was, yeah. But I think it was also released separate.
It's on
like
the YouTube. We watched it off the YouTube Vice channel.
Yeah, it's all.
I thought it was crazy too. Well, and then the entire police force, half of them are either pedophiles that fuck these Chai Boys, or they're on heroin. Like at one point, they're trying to set up a police barricade, and they're stacking sandbags, and the Marines are working with these, you know, Afghani police, and two of the Afghani police keep falling asleep. Because they're on so much heroin, they keep falling asleep while they're stacking these sandbags.
Yeah, life in Afghanistan.
Well, it's also like those are the ones that are working with us. Like there might be.
Yeah.
Maybe there's ones that aren't like living in the Middle Ages. It's just the ones that choose to work with the U.S. Maybe have like some because they're driving around in like unarmored trucks and like they're trying to do the work of what the Marines were doing with like. No equipment, like guns that don't shoot straight.
Pretty fucked up top to bottom, though. I don't think there's a subset of the population just living in mansions and right. having a grand old time.
Right.
I think it's.
And if the other people would probably want to murder them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought like, oh well, there's got to be like a certain segment of the population that are educated enough that they can come in, and they can like build. Like modern infrastructure and government and all this it's like no there's nobody
it's basically I mean, nothing it's like tribes basically
well yeah
even the way that it's governed is like warlords and tribes and well, it's all
that's
tribal.
Well infrastructure happens like as a progression and it's like you can get somebody to try and come in and build it on top of what they have, but if like you don't have the knowledge base there, it's like it doesn't work. That like the Shah of Iran tried to do that. And it didn't really work because it was like he would come. He's like, "Oh, I've got these cool ass tanks," and he'd bring him in. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we don't actually."
Did you say Bob Iran?
The Shah of Iran. He would like buy cool shit from other countries and bring it in. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we don't actually have a road for you to drive that on, or like a gas station for you to fill that up." Like all the little things. Like it takes so many people and so much time, and it's like such an evolutionary process that you can't just like
you can't drop it in out of the sky.
You can't just drop expensive shit out of the sky because it's like, oh, here's a laptop. And you're like, all right, where do I plug it in? You know, like there's all the little shit that goes along with it.
When you've got all the tribal shit too, any sort of progress represents to them decentralization of power. It's like, oh, you have roads? Well, you can escape if there's roads.
Yeah,
I'm gonna break all your feet and make sure you can't run away.
Yeah, it's definitely everyone's trying to hold on to their little tiny little piece of the world out there. It's fucking crazy though.
And then they go to the police chief of the Marines, like a commander, goes to the police chief of this region of Afghanistan, and he goes, "Hey, do you think there's any way we could have you guys not molest children?" And rape little boys in the police stations. And the police chief is just like, what? Who's this guy? Look at this guy over here. He's like, he literally says to him, he goes, if they can't fuck those little boys' asses, what are they going to do, fuck their grandma's pussies? Which, yeah. I mean, I love him for saying that, and that's a great point.
Yeah.
You were thinking the same thing.
Like, apparently, Afghanistan, it's either your grandma's pussy or a fucking little boy's ass.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's where I always come down against the...
I think that's in their national anthem.
Well, there's like this... There's the segment of people that think they're progressive, and they're like, see, we're just objectifying women with all these, like, scantily clad ads and porno and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay... Maybe, but then what's the other alternative? Like, you could go to Afghanistan where they don't objectify women at all, and they don't know what women are like, and there's no women around, and so the only other alternative is to, like, you know, fuck little boys, because, like, oh, we've separated the sexes for their entire life. This is way better.
Yeah. My completely obnoxious, uneducated opinion on this is, like, it's hot as fuck. You've never even like seen a girl in like a bikini. Like you don't even know what the outline of a woman's human body looks like. You're like 15 years old. You can't jack off because everyone's probably told you that like that's horrible and you're gonna die. So like yeah, like give me a fucking vest. I'll strap that shit on.
Dude, I had this idea. You remake Her, but in Afghanistan, and instead of a woman, it's just Haley Joel Osment's voice. Is the voice of the OS.
I don't think he's been working much. I think that'd be a good role for him.
Yeah. He's got a new series on Showtime.
And you're like, what's your name? Walker told me I have AIDS. Yeah. All right. Well, what do you guys think? Could we put this one to bed?
Yeah, it was good.
I suppose so.
Joe brought the thunder as always.
Yeah, there's some good pitches. I think some of those might get greenlit.
I've got a good feeling about those.
I feel good about them.
Me too.
So what are you guys going to do for the next next couple of frots? Well, next week we'll have one.
Yeah, and that one will be with, well, we might have an extra one, but Laramie Legal and Matt, well, Laramie Legal will be in town. We're going to have a Whoop Dreams reunion, and it'll be with Mike Eisenberg, who's the director, editor, mostly the cinematographer of Whoop Dreams. He'll be in town. Laramie Legal will be in town. Like I said, we'll have the screening.
Mike also did the Chicago Frogcast.
He did. That's where we met him.
Video.
It's been a several-year journey with that guy. It's been fun. But, yeah, if you're in the San Francisco area, February 5th, 7:15 p.m., it's only $5 at the Roxy Theater. Come on out and see a sneak preview of Whoop Dreams. And if you aren't in the area, it'll be available March 3rd.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, brothers.
All right. Well, email us email us as always, frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google Voice number that we never listen to?
415-275-0030. That's false. We listened to one last week.
That's true. We did.
Boom.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And until next week, good night and good chins.